Welcome to Email and Beyond, the podcast bringing you all the latest email marketing and other complementary marketing channel tips, tricks, industry chat, brand insights, and more every 2 weeks. Join me, Kate Barrett, founder and CEO of eFocus Marketing, and Richard Wall, marketing campaign manager at Spotler, as we talk you through the good, the bad, and the ugly of marketing, and how you can create a more intelligent strategy that gets results. Welcome to another episode of Email and Beyond. Now, today's a little bit of a different episode. It's going to be a little bit like therapy for us, okay. Rich. We're going into an email therapy session today. Yeah, breathe. We are talking about email marketing, room 101, and the things in the industry that drive us crazy and that we would love to get rid of and why. So, Rich, let's just jump in. What is your number one bugbear when it comes to either B2B email marketing, B2C email marketing? What is the one thing that people say or you've seen teams do that you just want to scream and tear your hair out?
I think this one's universal. I feel like it is.
Yep.
Just send another email.
Oh, we've all heard that one. Deep breath. Years of being told to just send another email for brands coming up here.
So many, and it's like we spend so long developing the time frames, the content strategies that support it. There's so much to the point that Spotler's marketing team that it's actually organized into strategy, demand generation, and content, because you need enough. We want to launch a new branded product, a new acquisition, a new link up, a new partnership, whatever it is. You just go, oh, hey, we're working with these people now. I thought, you want some podcasts, you want some video content, you want some interviews, some snippets, some visuals. You want a demo of what the product looks like.
It's got to be thought through. There's got to be a purpose and a meaning behind that content, right?
Absolutely. There has to be a whole, and we've talked about this already in several things, what are we actually trying to achieve? Are we on day one of launch of a free product where we say the goal is to get as many people playing with this as possible? Are we building anticipation? So it's coming in 2 months, 3 months, 6 months. Yeah. Are we sunsetting a particular part of the product, introducing a new one? So actually it's a conversion thing that we're targeting existing people who might be super comfortable and really embedded in using this particular software in a particular way, and they're going to have to learn a new thing. So not just the amount of content, but the tone of the content. If you send a message saying, oh, by the way, we're switching this off and moving over, sorry. Yeah. They say, look, we're introducing a new platform to host your webinars on. This is why we're doing it. This is why it's better. This is how we're going to help you. Here you go, this is changing, it's not bad, it's going to be good for you. And what's the benefit for them? Yeah. Because to just send an email to people, without picking on any departments in particular, though I have got one in mind, they want something now.
Yeah.
But they would
want... It's reactive, right? Yes. It's not proactive, it's reactive in that sense, which we know is never a good way to run your marketing strategy. I mean, everyone needs some reactive. You need those emergency comms that are there for things that happen, absolutely. But when someone comes and says, oh, just send another email, it's usually to do with kind of sales targets, right? We've got this product that we need to shift. Someone send out an email about it now. Or we've got this event we need to fill. Oh, crap, we forgot. need to do this. But, the just send another email. So I've seen this in a couple of instances. I had it many years ago. I was working directly for a brand before I started eFocus Marketing. And I think it must have been 5 o'clock on a Friday night. And the CEO walks into the room. There's two of us sitting in the office as marketers. And the CEO says, I need this email sending out today. This is just from a paper brief. I mean, anyone who's built an email before knows you need at least a few hours to put it together, do your pre-send testing, exactly, get it set up, make sure you've got the right list to send it to, do your optimizations on it. So I think, just send another email isn't fair on marketing teams. You know, it puts a lot of unnecessary pressure on them. I think the other side of it, and what I've seen, and I was literally speaking to somebody earlier on in the week that was saying their business is doing this, was every email they send out, they automatically just send another email afterwards. Now, they're doing it to the non-openers, so I guess you've got a little bit of a...
Slightly better.
Yeah, slightly better. But every single time, and I think this brand in particular, they're not changing their subject lines or anything else with it. So it is literally exactly the same thing going out. So I think you've got send another email, not fair on marketing teams, not fair on your content calendar, because it needs to be planned. That cohesion in the messages, like you were saying, what's the purpose of the message? Why are you sending it? What's the cohesion with what else they've received from you? Is so important, but also the impact on the customers, just send another email. Well, we know that that email, if it's not relevant to that audience, if they open it and it's not relevant to them, you're then decreasing their propensity to open your next email.
Absolutely.
Because they've seen that this one isn't relevant. So just send another email. Yeah. Room 101. Let's get rid of that one right now. It's not good for many reasons.
One more. I don't know if it's a separate one or LinkedIn.
Okay.
But especially if you're sending the exact same email to the exact same people because they haven't opened it, what about your deliverability?
Absolutely. It's an issue. And do you know what? Okay, so I'm going to extend that one.
Okay.
I'm going to extend that one on deliverability because there are so many aspects of deliverability that I think, you know, a lot of us think, oh, it's you know, hidden dark art. You know, there's a silver bullet that is going to fix my deliverability. Well, that one, first off, that there is a silver bullet that's going to fix my deliverability. That one needs to go into room 101 because that is all about, you know, you've got to get your technical settings right. But once they're right, it's about your strategy. Right message, right person, right time. You will hear me say this through so many different podcast episodes that we've recorded. But that's what deliverability is. It's the strategy of deliverability, data quality, who you're sending to. So, you know, let's put that in room 101 straight away. But the other side of deliverability is... And Rich, you work for a SaaS software provider and an email sending platform, and I've worked for them in the past as well. How many times have you and your team heard, it's your platform, you need to get us good deliverability?
Ooh,
you heard that quite a lot?
Just a few times, to the point where I actually have a deliverability manager on the team just to, you know, we can give pointers, but the whole point, if you're using the kind of domains... and same audiences over and over again, like it's part of it, but it's not the whole problem.
No, and the ESP, your sending platform, is only actually responsible for that much of your deliverability, you know, making sure that you've had that conversation about the technical settings and that you've got the right connection in place with your DKIM records, your SPF records, you know, all of those kind of elements. You're obviously looking after, you know, in the background, those kind of connection and throughput settings or, you know, connecting with those other channels. But deliverability is not down to the ESP. And I'm not saying that just because you guys are a sending platform. Promise you I'm not. You know, from an agency side, from a consulting side of things, absolutely not. That maybe makes up 5% of what comes into deliverability and inbox placement and getting your emails to your audience. As I mentioned, it's all about strategy. It's your list quality. How are you collecting that list? What are you sending to them? When are you sending to them? And connecting in with our last room 101 point about just send another email, that doesn't help you get good deliverability because, again, if that message is irrelevant, you're just going to miss the mark, and then people are going to then skim over your future emails, decreases your positive engagement, gets you into a whole world of deliverability pain. We'll talk about that on another episode, but definitely, you know, let's put that your ESP is in control of your deliverability. No, you are.
Right, do you want to go next? Do you want to put another one into room 101?
Oh, go on. I'm going to put my biggest one.
Okay.
Biggest
ready,
one.
We're ready.
Every time I speak to somebody, and do you know what? It's not, I'm not having a go at anybody who says this or anything. For me, it's just it's a personal bugbear. When emails are called, well, okay, I'm going to give you two terms here. When emails are called newsletters as a blanket approach, or even worse, e-blasts.
Oh, no,
we're going back to like early 1990s here, right? Get the Care Bears out as well. But it's that terminology, because for me, it's, well, A, you shouldn't be blasting anything. It should be thought through, considered, you know, understand who you're targeting. But if we think about like the term newsletter, a newsletter is one type of email, particularly used in a B2B sense. We wouldn't use it so much in a B2C sense. There are some times when it comes in, but it is an informational email that brings together a roundup, a summary of different elements. So directing them to, let's say, the three blog posts that you've put live this month, you know, or to a download that you've got, you know, but this is all in one email. So the theme of the email is that roundup, that summary, but you've got the different elements in it. Whereas we've also got sales emails, we've got event invite emails, we've got product launch emails, we've got nurture series that are about educating, inspiring, informing our audience. None of those are newsletters. It's just the different types. And I think by blanket calling everything an email a newsletter or an e-blast, we are underselling the value and the breadth of ability that email has within your strategy. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, our core strategy for a long time has been newsletters are a once a month thing, and they are very broad. So they're not quite in the brand building section, I don't think. But the way it would be, these are two webinars we did, a white paper we published in our three most recent blogs. And the goal of a newsletter is, to round up, but it's also to attract them to our website by giving them options. Because, I know, there's a thing where you need one call to actually keep people focused. Sure, if you're selling, if you're trying to convert onto a webinar, if you're into buying now, yes, but especially in that early stage, and we've done episodes on nurture series elsewhere in the series, you know what I mean.
Elsewhere anyway, in the podcast.
Thank you, I couldn't think of the other word. What's this thing we're on? We've done those, and one of the things is show us what you're interested in. We want to know about it, and they particularly come in B2B Welcome Series, which we talk about in
another episode.
We're not getting the numbers so far, but it's like, oh, you've been on a website, you visit one or two pages, so we don't really know what it is you want from us. Here's a menu, let us know. Are you interested in how we're trying to use AI to support things? Are you interested in managing your social media through one place rather than having to log into every platform? Are you interested in better emails? These are all things we can do in a kind of modular sense in different parts of the platform. It's the same for you that you don't just have one service offering. You have a range of things, and let people let you know what they're interested in. And then, yes, our sales messages are very much, this is the product we think is right for you. Get them here, try it out. But that comes much further down the funnel, and then event invites are somewhere in the middle. There is a single call to action. It's not quite as urgent because events kind of work as a warming strategy for us in the main, in the B2B world. That they kind of, if someone goes to an event, they're interested enough to spend an hour or so watching what it is that we do, but they're not quite at the stage where they want that to be a one-on-one conversation and it's going to start to
But it wouldn't be a newsletter that you send us that follow-up.
No.
It would be an event follow-up where the content is targeted around, this is what you would have learned at the event, here's where to see the recording. And you were talking about having kind of one theme, one call to action. And again, I think this is the difference with actual newsletters, you know, like you said, that actually, they do have one theme and one focus for the email, which is really important for all emails. And for a newsletter, it's a roundup of what has happened recently, and then you've got those multiple link clicks off, which, like you said, you can use for behavioral tracking and things like that. And I think also, you know, the difference that you said there was that in a B2B sense, in a B2C sense, you're probably not even going to have a newsletter every month, because actually that comes in a lot less regularly for B2C. You do less roundups in that sense, and you'd have more sales emails, or you'd have more inspiration emails rather than newsletters, because a lot of the time newsletters are going to be blogs, they're going to be events, they're going to be webinars, they're going to be those types of things, which are much more B2B strategy and content focused.
Right.
So if we're talking about terms, you know, this is why calling all emails newsletters just doesn't work, because newsletters have a certain purpose for them, as do every other email in your strategy. So term newsletter or e-blast for all emails, we're putting that in room 101, and we are getting specific about what we're sending and why.
Email and Beyond is a Spotler and eFocus Marketing production. Spotler is the all-in-one sales and marketing software for small and medium-sized businesses. Our suite of products covers email marketing, website personalization and tracking, social media management, and CRM. If you want to find out more about how our software can drive your success, visit spotler.co.uk/email and beyond.
Any more, Richard? Anything else to throw in room 101 today?
Massive ones.
Go on.
Go on. Incredibly painful.
Hit me with it.
Just send it to everyone. We need to get the word out.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Still breathing.
Almost fell off my chair there. Yeah, this is a painful one. I think all marketers would have taken a sharp intake of breath at that one, because we've certainly all heard it before, right? And just send it out to everybody. And I think that links into what we were saying earlier of, you know, just send another message. I think there's a lot of pressure from sales teams, from you know, teams within B2C businesses who are doing the product buying, for example, and, you know, want to get their product sold. But again, you know, what I've said to clients before is, as the marketing team, you've got to be leading that calendar. You've got to be leading what happens, because at the end of the day, ultimately, if you send the same message to everybody on a whim without any calendar in place, you're going to burn through your list. Your churn rate is going to be enormous, and you won't have a list going forward. So this comes back to understanding your audience. If you haven't listened to our other episodes about different types of data and how you can use that data, we've got a couple of different episodes that you can have a look at. Go and check those out, because you've got to understand your audience. If you don't know who they are and you don't know what they need, well, do you know what? You might as well batch and blast to everyone and burn through your list, because you're not evolving that conversation. You're not building that relationship. So I think for this one, absolutely, let's put that in room 101 and bring into the light understanding your audience. How do you need to tailor your messages for different key groups in your audience, different segments, and moving forward? So yeah, room 101, just send it out to everybody. It's quality, not quantity, that we're looking for here.
Can I go one more?
Go on then.
A bit of a roll.
Don't know if my heart can take it.
It's not quite so big. It's a bit more niche. It's again, a B2B, B2B split one, probably, so you probably have some strong opinions on it. Yeah. But when I've not bought something from a particular site for a while, they send a message, "We miss you." No, I mean, that might just be me not responding to emotions, but
and I think the issue here is B2B versus B2C, right? In B2C, that's very common. You see it a lot, and actually, if you look at the results, it works. 100%. If you look at anything to do with re-engagement campaigns, getting customers back, getting people re-engaged with your emails, "We miss you," "Come back," those types of terminology usually work really well in terms of the stats. If we think about it for B2B in particular, it kind of doesn't work with a brand tone, right? It's a bit too consumery. It's a bit too, or is it the consumer side and in your own personal inbox you have the issue with it?
I don't like it in the personal inbox, and I think it wouldn't work for businesses.
Yeah.
Problem possibly.
Yeah.
There's the whole thing that you buy with emotion and justify rationally, but so "We miss you," if you're trying it in a B2B context, is leaning on that first part and ignoring that second part. You know, if I say I'm choosing, I can't think of a particular thing I'm choosing a new office for our business, if we're gonna move, and I go into one, I go into two, and they're both about the same, but one, I just like the feel of. I mean, if I go to our CFO and say, "Well, this one's nice," he doesn't care.
He wants to know the numbers, Rich.
Yeah, exactly the same. So, yes, we do buy with emotions, but in the B2B world, I think the average buying team is, 10 people now? Yes, you can respond to the emotions individually, but to get that buying decision over the line, there has to be a... You think that's leading to what you want to do is, you know, how much better will you feel if you've got an office where your employees can get lunch in the middle of the day easily?
Yeah.
That's taking the emotion and levering it into the logic that's going to be effective. They're just, come back to us.
So it's not the connection. Quite, so you think, so it's not just the we will miss you, it's the disconnect between the emotion and then the logical side as well, and the positive benefit. It's an interesting one. Yeah. So why do you think it's the we will miss you that bugs you so much? Why do you want to put that specifically? And would you put it into a B2B context or B2C context?
I mean,
Where are you throwing it?
I want to throw in the B2B one.
Okay, definitely.
I think it's not right. B2C, I personally don't like it. And actually, this is a thing that we should talk about maybe as a separate episode if I go into a few others.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you like.
Yes! Let's put that in room 101.
Yes, I don't like this feeling of this. Yes, I'm not going to name any names of someone I previously worked with that we were doing some different things. And they're like, oh yeah, but I don't like this.
It's not about you.
Look at it. Look at the percentage click-through. Look at the conversion. I don't care what you like. You're not my target market.
Yes,
I'm actually getting quite into it.
We didn't even have this one on our list, right? This is a good one. I like this because what you just said there, you are not our target audience. That is so critical, and it comes into everything, right? If you're sending the wrong message to the wrong person in your audience, you're missing the mark. If you're trying to do testing or get a decision on something and someone says, I like that, I don't like that, that's one person's opinion. You need to go with the data, get statistical significance if you can, wherever possible. But you've got to go with the data of what's working with your audience. And even within that, you know, I've sat and worked with clients and I've said, oh, I recommend that you test doing this in this way. And they've sat there and said, Kate, we've tested that before. It doesn't work for us. Okay, brilliant. But did you test it to the whole audience or did you test it to certain segments? Because again, what happens with non-customers and prospects versus people who've bought from you before versus VIPs versus... There are different variations of how those people within your audience will react as well.
Yes.
So we've got to dig deeper into it and understand where that's coming from and able to better target our customers and better target our messages within that. So I love that one. I think that's brilliant.
Cool. Yeah, so that wasn't even about that, was just me caring a lot about it, which is so we tried to map it out. So I thought, hey, we didn't write it down. That's the it keeps evolving, we think of things.
It does.
What else have you got for us then?
Oh, I think that's everything for now. I think that's my biggest bugbears. But what are your bugbears? Let us know. What are the things that you've heard people say in the industry that drive you crazy, or things that you've seen done that you just think, oh my golly, that is just not the way that we should be doing it. So let us know in the comments. Let us know on social media. We'd love to hear from you. What would you put into email marketing room 101? I think for us, for now, that's our therapy session over.
I feel better.
Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you on the next episode of Email and Beyond.
Bye.
If you liked this episode, please follow us on YouTube and subscribe through iTunes or wherever you listen to your podcasts.